Well, let me get back to that first night of patrol. Black leather jackets, black berets, black slacks, black shoes, all shined up. Stacks of the 10-point platform and program that we done printed in the War on Poverty Office, the government, city government. We used the A.B. Dick machine in the city government. Stencil brand, we used their stuff. And we was getting paid, but we did our other job with the community, you know what I mean, for the jobs, programs, and all that kind of stuff. But at night, that Poverty Center was like really the headquarters of the Black Panther Party. But anyway, I'm just trying to say, after we went through all of this, we began to go out, and we decided we're going to go out and patrol the police. And we educated those brothers on how to take an arrest. Couldn't know 10 or 12 people be talking one time. And we was a ragtag organization of about 12 or 14 people on the first night's patrol. And we drove down to do our first patrol to observe the police based on that California Supreme Court ruling that Huey had researched and found that every citizen had a right to stand and observe a police officer carrying out their duty. We had shotguns, half of us had handguns. He researched all the laws. One, as long as a gun was not concealed, it was not illegal. He had confirmed these things with his professor in the light law school he was going with. Two, while riding in a car, you cannot have a live round in the chamber of a rifle or a shotgun. Did not apply to handguns. You could not put a live round into the chamber. That is where it could fire. You could keep it in the magazine, but not in the chamber until you got out of the car. Three, even if you're playing around, if you have a live round in the chamber of a rifle or a shotgun, and you just accidentally pointed it at somebody with no intention whatsoever of shooting, that, under California law, Huey pointed out, constituted assault with a deadly weapon. So we researched all of that. We disciplined the group. Little Bobby couldn't half read. We made him learn how to read with the autobiography of Malcolm X. By the time we hit the streets to do our first patrol, bang, there we were. We come out, got out of the car, got stacks of the 10-point program. I took a tape recorder and stuck it around little Bobby's shoulder while he carried his long shotgun. Several other brothers got long shotguns. Sister Marta Lava, the first sister who joined, she strapped down with a big 44 holster like Clint Eastwood. I'm telling you. Black berets or bush jackets and or leather jackets and black slacks or pants, what have you, all shine shoes, black gloves, et cetera. We want to look disciplined and organized to the black community because too many times organizations come in, they're not disciplined and organized enough so people can respect them. So we got out of our car 100 feet back because the police was out there pat searching some brother, you know. We weren't going to come there to stop the arrest. That wasn't the point. The reason we were patrolling the police so we could capture the imagination in the black community to get the people to come down so we could organize them, politically raise their conscience, organize them, and ultimately organize a new black community unity, political electoral community unity, in reaction to the fact that they had killed and murdered Brother Malcolm X a year and a half earlier. We were still in all that period of time reacting to that. And finally, here we are. We get out of the car and we come down. It's late, it's dark, 8 o'clock or so. We're on 7th Street in the red light district. We had spotted down the street the police pat searching this young guy. It was 50 or 60 black folks standing on the sidewalk watching this police out in the middle of the streets with his new arrestee. That as we walked up, we got out of the car with our platforms and programs. Everybody had their guns. We stepped off the curb and got in front of the people. We lined up about 40 feet, 40, 50 feet, disciplined and stood. Huey was at the front. I was next to Huey. Little Sister Marta Mulatto was here with me. Little Bobby Hutton was there with the tape recorder on. I had punched it on. And as we walked up and stopped, of the 50 or 60 people in the back of the crowd there, that says, somebody says, "Hey man, them dudes got guns out there." And somebody else in the crowd said, "Man, I'm getting the hell out of here." And Huey says, nope, it's not necessary for you to leave. We're a new organization. We're here to observe the police. We've already checked the law out, and all of you as citizens also have a right to stand and observe these police. They're brutalizing our people in the community, et cetera, and so on, so on, so on. So please, everybody, do not leave. Stay here. We're a very disciplined organization. And this cop had got out of his car, standing there listening to Huey with his back to the cop tell these people this, and the cop, "You have no right to observe me." And Huey turned around and says, "Nope." According to Huey, rattled off these numbers or some shit. Wait a minute, let me finish. Huey says, according to such and such California State Supreme Court ruling, every citizen has the right to stand and observe a police officer as long as they stand a reasonable distance away. And that particular ruling, a reasonable distance, is constituted as 8 to 10 feet. I'm standing approximately 20 feet from you, and I'll observe you whether you like it or not. And some sister in the audience, she say, well, go ahead on and tell it, brother. The cop says, is that gun loaded? Huey says, if I know it's loaded, that's good enough. Well, I got a right to see that weapon. Huey says, no, your man. Huey went off into some legal stuff that he had found out about the 14th Amendment, about due process of law. Maybe it wasn't the 14th Amendment. Due process of law. And therefore, you cannot remove my property from me without due process of law. So stand back. Do not try to touch my weapon. If you try to take my, if you want my weapon, you're going to have to try to take it. Well, is that gun loaded? What it happens when we got out of the car on our first patrol, remember there's no live rounds in the chambers of the rifles or the shotguns. When we got out and walked 100 feet down and got all this, they had forgotten, nobody thought to jack a round off into the chambers of the long guns, right? And the cop asked for a second time, is the gun loaded? Huey says, if I know it's loaded, that's good enough. So he loaded the weapon by jacking a round off into the chamber. When he did that, the other five or six brothers carrying long guns, remember, they didn't have a live round in the chamber either. Clack, 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 clack. And when he did that, the cop looked around. He didn't even realize 40 feet down here is all these other, I guess in his mind, a white racist guy. There's too many damn niggas with these goddamn guns. Clack, clack. And the young brother up here, you know, getting ready to get arrested, when they're going, clack, 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 he said, hey, man, don't y'all shoot this way, brothers. Cop got his arrestee, put him in the car, you know, boom, let me get the hell out of here. Shut his front passenger side door, got in his car and drove off. That's exactly what we wanted. Because we got stacks of the 10-point program. I'm telling the brothers and sisters, we're a new organization in the black community, Black Panther Party, blah, 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 et cetera. We have meetings and political education and classes at 5624 Grove Street, where our office is located at 2 p.m. on Saturday night. Bang, bang, that's exactly what we wanted. The Black Panther Party was profound. It was called putting the civil rights movement on a cutting edge.